Hey there, this is Pastor Bill bringing you news and focus. This one is titled, Has the Sun Set on Sunday School? This was posted March 22nd on USA Today. It's a chilly Sunday morning in Oakland, California, and in the glass pane school adjacent to St. Paul's Episcopal Church, Allison Soss is on the mission to teach 12 small children to love Jesus. Bless their hearts, and Soss's too, because despite her smile, it's going to be quite a struggle. One messy-haired boy, all of six, refuses to budge from the lap of his mom, who's there because he's a little shy. Two girls, both barely 10, are frankly dozing off, sprawled out on the carpet. Sass holds up a drawing of Mary, Joseph, Jesus, and asks the kids to help tell the story of Christ Child through toys and other objects in the room. Some of the children pluck wooden figurines from a nativity scene, and one girl with, yes, purple-tipped hair, chooses a baby doll in a white baptismal gown. It's a move that rouses some of the kids, who gather around the doll and, as Sass watches on, starts chanting in the playground manner, "Take it off! Take it off!" Interesting. The girl obliges. Then she peeks beneath the doll's underwear and announces her verdict, "I think he's transgender." Obviously, this wasn't in the lesson plan. But while getting young kids to pay attention in church has often required miracles, something about this moment seems to reflect a broader current about Sunday school. Many a prayer has been said over the fate of the vaunted American institution, whose struggles cut across denominational lines. Between 1997 and 2004, churches lost tens of thousands of Sunday school programs, according to the data from the Barna Group. And more recent studies show that enrollment has fallen across denominations from 2004 to 2010. For example, Sunday school attendance dropped off nearly 40% among evangelical Lutheran churches in America, and almost 8% among Southern Baptist churches, prompting speculation that the problem may be more than just a decline in American religiosity. Maybe now would be a good time to point out that the people checking out the gender of the doll were actually children in an Episcopal church, who by the way, and this is not in the article, who, by the way, had an issue with, they've approved same-sex marriages. So I'm not surprised that their gender-confused children are checking out the gender of the doll who is supposed to be, of course, Jesus or another Bible character. Now, we also are not surprised the statistics that say that Sunday school attendance is dropping off. So parents and kids, as we all know, are just too busy on weekends with everything from professional-level sports training to 8-hour SAT prep classes at age 12. The institutional inertia that churches are famous for has been made difficult for them to adapt at times, but experts say many churches are also discovering they're paying a far heavier price for past sex scandals than they had anticipated, and that Sunday school is the latest collateral damage, all of which raises a troubling question, at least among the clergy and deeply devout, about whether Sunday school has outlived its usefulness. Decades ago, religious education programs served as the only social function after a grueling week. But today, Sunday schools must make an informative case to their audience, and so churches have entertained the innovation game with everything from godly play to global programs. They forge on, like Moses wandering in the desert, strip teases and all. Okay, so making reference, of course, to the little kid suggesting that he's transgender. All right, so there's I'm writing down things that I have to say as we move through this article. While Sunday school conjures up images of post-war America, mom and dad in the pews while Johnny and Susie played Bible games in the classroom. Not surprisingly, Sunday school soon caught on in the U.S. after the Industrial Revolution, where over the course of a century and a half, it evolved from educational missionary venture, which tried to spread the gospel and attract converts, into a cornerstone of towns and neighborhoods. Nearly every parent, even those who didn't regularly attend church, sent their children to Sunday school. Indeed, the schools emerged as a center of social life, hosting parades, picnics, and prize days. But the love affair would not survive the second half of the 20th century. The first crack may have been over race, even as the civil rights movement gained momentum. Churches remained racially divided in most parts of the country. And Martin Luther King Jr. once remarked that the most segregated hour of American Christian America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, of course. Someone should tell the writer of this article that that is not Sunday school. But anyway, by the 1970s, Sunday school and church in general, like many traditional institutions, fell victim to a society that increasingly questioned authority. And next paragraph. Today, most church leaders probably wish that kids like little Tommy McPherson were the main problem. We live in an era defined Of course, now I have to talk about Timmy McPherson from the previous paragraph. Pennsylvania management consultant Timmy McPherson says he was booted out after demanding evidence of heaven and hell. Okay, so now we're dealing with the possibility that Sunday school is not answering hard questions, and that is a problem for many. Today, most church leaders wish that kids like Timmy McPherson were the main problem. We live in an era defined by confluence of two big trends. Parents, especially middle class ones, have become ever more concerned about the welfare of their children, whether it's demanding chemical-free playgrounds or ensuring they get into the best preschool. At the same time, Christian churches have been rocked by a series of sex abuse scandals that are a worst nightmare for any parent. Okay, first of all, no one says that you have to drop your kids off at Sunday school and never see them until the end of Sunday school. Take them with you to your own class if you want to. I've had babies in my Sunday school class, children in a Sunday school class. You can keep your children on your lap for all I care. I think that there's some to it. I think the hypocrisy, of course, is that we're concerned about germs, and more germs. But meanwhile, our parents are spending less time with their children than ever before. Concerned for their welfare, that they don't catch a germ at the nursery, but certainly not so concerned that they're going to sit down and talk to them for an hour every evening. So, lots of hypocrisy. At the same time, Christian churches have been rocked by a series of sex abuse scandals. Okay, that, again, might affect church, but the article's about Sunday school, so I'm not sure where the writer is going. Leanne McNeil, homemaker in McLean, Virginia, is a devout Catholic with four kids, but she has serious qualms about teacher selection at her church's Sunday school. They're not vetted properly. That's a valid concern in my book, she says, and she can speak from experience. As a Sunday school teacher for several years, she says the sign-up process was done very quickly. It's like, have you been in jail before? The generic question is like an on-the-job application. They don't really check your background. And I just wanted to point out, I'm going to come back to that myself. My number four reason, I'm getting numbers one through three, but number four reason why I think Sunday school is under-appreciated, under-attended, is quite simply because we decide, when it comes to children, that if you're a new teacher, you can teach children. If you're a parent that can't commit to week after week, we'll let you teach children. If you're a teacher that really just can't hack it in front of adults, you can teach children. But I'm going to tell you that I think that in a lot of churches, we just want anyone with a pulse to do anything to keep the program going. We cannot fathom canceling Sunday school, but we also don't mind that it has six or seven people attending it, or eight or ten people attending out of a church of 100, or whatever. And we never think for a minute it's because the teacher stinks. Okay? Never think that for a minute. Somehow, as Jesus would point out, the children of this generation are wiser than the children of light. We would never put a social misfit, or at least you shouldn't, as the greeter at your restaurant. So why would you take a non-teaching teacher and put them in front of your children? I mean, if your kids are thrilled about Sunday school, there's a strong chance you're going to go. And especially if there's no bus. The parents are going to probably want to go. When they're on the teeter-totter and the kids are bugging them, we want to go to Sunday school, there's a strong possibility the parents are going to follow. So I will agree with this Catholic that many Sunday school teachers are not properly vetted. Not saying you got to be a theologian to teach Sunday school, but if you're monotone, you don't belong in the teaching position. If you are, yes, I said it, get over it. You have to be interesting. This is not in the day of blue laws where everything's closed, so we might as well go to church. No, there's a strong possibility no one's going to want to listen to you if you can't get excited about what you're saying. You're dealing with eternally significant matters. If you can't get your pulse up just a little bit and talk about what you're... You don't have to be like me, but if you can't act just a tad animated over the Word of God, then go sit and listen until Jeremiah 20 happens to you, where the Word of God is like a burning fire that's shut up in your bones, okay? And if maybe teaching is, maybe you're good at 5 and 6 minute conversations with people on the street. It actually does matter if you have a classroom presence. It really does. It really does. Either that, or you have to be willing to allow someone to be the teacher until you get a better one. You know, maybe it would help if your church, if your program would hire people on to be Sunday school teachers, given that position, and say, look, this is temporary. We're looking for someone who knows they're a teacher. They're a good teacher. People love their teaching. And so you don't need to worry about necessarily being here for years doing this, you know. And then pastors, folks, those who have influence with pastors, every now and then you may just have to look at the man and say, we need worship. That's in the Bible. We need worship services. That's in the Bible. But maybe the best way for people to see that we need Sunday school is to not have it. Yep, I said it. I said it. I know some of you are ready to click the browser and all of this, but I'm telling you, the biggest enemy that I can think of to having to Sunday school is not doing it well. And I'm not talking about having multimedia. I'm talking about having at least an interesting teacher. And interesting could be defined at least as a teacher who is really interested about what he or she is saying. Yep. Anyway, it's worth noting that the reason that McNeil's kids don't attend Sunday school is lack of time. Instead of a day of rest, Sundays become just another day over scheduled kids to be chauffeured from sports practice to music lessons or SAT tutoring. So stop it! So stop letting your kids play in sports on Sundays. Well, then they won't be able to be on the travel team. Oh well, you might actually convince them that Sunday's a really important day. Did I hurt your feelings again? I mean, seriously. What are you teaching your children when they are worn out for Monday school or Monday work, and you're worn out because you're running around from recital to sports practice to pageant? What are you going to teach your kids other than Sunday's just another weekend day? Apparently, back to the article, a lot of people are busy, at least in rich countries. As marginalized as Sunday school has become in the U.S., only 5% of the British kids went to Sunday school in 2010. A mere 11% of elementary school students in New Zealand were enrolled in Sunday school in 85, down from 50% in 1950. I guarantee it's gone down a lot more since 85. This is a 30-year-old article, apparently, 30-year-old statistics from New Zealand. The article is not. The article is 2 days old. But I'm going to tell you right now, if it was down to 11% in 1985, I'll bet you Britain in 2010 was 5%. I'll bet you less than that now. I did an article about 2 years ago where it was 5%. So I promise you it's gone down. Promise you. And that was church attendance. We're not talking about the accoutrement of a Sunday school instruction. All right. So 65% of Canadians in 1931 to 27% in 2001. And again, I guarantee it's less than that. Dead orthodoxy kills religion. Change is always difficult, 2,000-year-old institution, but give the clergy credit. They've begun to innovate. No good. Here we go. At Skyline United Church of Christ, a church, by the way, for the listener, I need to remind you, this is a USA Today article. United Church of Christ believes you have to be baptized to be saved, and that's probably the good part of their doctrine. About a 15-minute drive from SASA Sunday School class, the Reverend Lori Manning, that should tell you where they're at on the whole gender role within the church idea, has adopted something called the Joyful Path, where instead of the Bible study in the classroom, kids visit families in homeless shelters or raise money to build schools in poor countries. Such service projects help them see the face of God. Yeah, but it's not discipleship. Sorry, it starts with instruction. And because you have replaced horrible teachers with social projects doesn't mean that you're doing the right thing. Other churches are broadening their horizons, like teaching lessons about the Muslim holy book, the Quran. And then there's the obvious answer for overscheduled kid. Let them do Sunday school at home in their pajamas with readings and activities set up for them by the church. And by the way, I'll touch that in just a moment. I don't think parents are looking for weekly Sunday school, says Dave Smith Pritchard, Executive Director of Evangelical Education Society of the Episcopal Church. Again, a church that is for gender blurring and homosexual union. So who really cares what you think, Dave? But back to the music room at St. Paul's. Carolyn Hickok, who leads the music and prayer portion of the class, asks two girls to pick a song. They flip through the songbook and settle on Down by the Riverside. An old-school male gospel voice growls through the CD player's speakers. Gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. They sing in deep, gruff voices as they pass out folders to other students. Hickok then asks the rest of the class if they want to sing along. I want to dance. I don't want to sing, pipes up one girl. She decorates her name tag with colored markers. Her classmates jump up and start dancing around the CD player. Usually, I end up singing alone, Hickok says. Well, that's a depressing article. You might notice that most of the leadership interviewed are women. And that should tell you precisely why the church in America is going to the outhouse. because it is mostly not Christian. If you can get a church born again, that is a fantastic start. But usually it's made up of theological liberals who are more concerned about the agendas of homosexuals and feminists than they are about being God-led and, how should we say, just to ruffle your feathers a little bit in case you didn't know you're listening to sermon audio, male-led. That's how God designed it. In the good old book of Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul had it right. Apparently Jesus did too, because he laid it on the men, the whole burden of divorce and remarriage in Matthew 19, Mark 10. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to do with this article. But I do have three additional reasons why I think the sun may be setting on your Sunday school. And am I an expert? No, I'm not an expert. But I do have some experience in Sunday school. I have some experience at doing it right, and I have some experiences at doing it wrong. So, I'd like to give you, other than unskilled teachers, three additional reasons why the sun may be setting on your Sunday school. Okay, number one. It could be setting on your Sunday school if there's no difference between your teaching and your preaching. Let's just be honest. No one wants to come to a doubleheader. Nobody. And since we had 81% of our church in Sunday school on Sunday, I feel like that maybe we have some experience in building the Sunday school. Might not be the best. You might be doing it better. I'm open to your ideas. But you do need to know that we're doing all right. There are other areas we wish we were doing better. But I want you to know that if there's no difference between the teaching in the class and the preaching in the service, you're going to have a hard time. Number one, if you're not the pastor, you're going to be competing with them. People are not going to come and hear you preach if your pastor is a better preacher. Simple. Get over it. They might be coming because you're their friend, but you will not build much of a class if you just have Sunday school as a time for you to do your best at preaching. First of all, your pastor's probably, hopefully, spent hours preparing a sermon. You, probably, who have a job, like I do, I'm a pastor, I don't prepare my Sunday school lessons during church office hours because I want to set the right example. I have a job then, in other words. Also, I'm an Army reservist, so I have plenty to do. I have a family. I have a home that I'm an owner of that I'm supposed to keep in relatively good shape. And so I, like you, have to prepare Sunday school in my own time. Well, if all I'm doing is preparing Sermon A to a two-part sermon series on Sunday mornings, then I have to compete with a man that has been thinking about how to drive a point across, and he's probably spent 6 or 8 hours preparing a sermon. Preaching a sermon is different than teaching a lesson. You say, I don't agree. Well, then do your own podcast. It's different. And your Sunday school will have the sun set on it if your teaching time is nothing but another preaching time. Okay? If it feels the same as a worship service, if it looks the same as a worship service, then it's a doubleheader. That's all you're doing. And in order for you to go to a doubleheader, you have to really love Bible instruction. And it has to be okay that it sounds alike. I'll grant you, some preachers are too teachy. They couldn't preach the fuzz off a peach. I get that. They couldn't preach themselves out of a soaked paper bag. I get it. They couldn't preach themselves out through a wet Kleenex. I got that. But that doesn't mean it has to be that way with you. If there's no difference between your lesson and the preaching of the main service, the sun is going to set on your class. Number two. If there's no interaction between the teacher and the student, the sun will set on your class. I can sit at home and listen to a lecture on sermon audio. Or as this article said, I can sit at home and watch a flannel graph presentation on YouTube in my pajamas. So if the teacher is telling students in material instead of allowing them to find it, if they're not asking questions, if there's no answers being provided, if the teacher is so afraid of on-the-spot questions and interrogations that she doesn't allow for the opportunity for students to ask questions, then the sun is going to set on your Sunday school. In other words, with this teacher-student idea, if the teacher is not at least likable, if he doesn't have a friendly countenance, if he doesn't visit with his people in class, out of class, before class, after class, the sun is going to set on your Sunday school. Let's be honest, it is partially about the personality. If it's not, then why did they join the church? They didn't join the church because the pastor was a sourpuss. They joined the church because they actually like his mannerisms in and out of the pulpit. If you go to a particular Sunday school class and the teacher's dried up and there's no life in the party, you're probably not going to stay. Well, expect that same thing out of your students. Thirdly, if there's no interaction between students, if you don't allow them to disagree in front of you, if you don't allow them to accentuate one another's comments, to accentuate your lesson, the sun is probably going to set. If you're not spurring sidebar comments, sidebar conversations, laughing as people remember things throughout the week that your lesson is bringing up, if they're not eyeballing each other across the tables, across the chapel, across the auditorium, whatever you're using, if they're not friends, if they're not producing opportunities for friendship, then you have, in my opinion, the last way that I can identify this morning that the sun will set on your Sunday school, if there's no opportunities for interaction between the students. So let me enumerate them again. If you are unskilled in teaching, find something else to do. Be a greeter, be someone who attends a class, but do not try to teach Sunday school. You will be very much frustrated. You will be operating outside your gifting. If you're going to do it for a short amount of time, about like I would do if I was being asked to work in the nursery. If there's number two, if there's no difference between teaching and preaching, the sun will set on your Sunday school. You might get 9, you might get 10, but you'll only get a certain small percentage of your church to Sunday school if the mood of your Sunday school is that your teaching is really just preaching. If you're going to meander off into stories of daffodils and bore me to tears with your talking and stories, and you're not going to let anyone get in a word in edgewise, then you're preaching. Thirdly, if there's no interaction between the teacher and student, if you're not likable, if you're not going to validate me when I make comments, if you're not going to entertain my questions, if you're not going to act like you like me, I'm not coming to your class. Lastly, if you don't allow me to be friendly with other students, if I can't comment on their comments, if I can't question their questions, if you're more busy trying to get through courseware than you are about me learning something, I'm not coming. I promise you, you won't be having people go to soup kitchens during Sunday school if everyone loves your class. These are my thoughts on your Sunday school. You say, well, what experience do you have in Sunday school? Okay. I can only tell you that I've taught Sunday school for 8 of the last 10 years. That's all I can tell you. And I can tell you that every Sunday, for the most part, I have a pretty full room. It doesn't make me awesome. It means that I might know what I'm talking about here. Okay? If you're never calling your students between classes, if they miss 2 and 3 weeks and you never let them know they're missed, if you don't remember their names, if you don't care about their kids' names, if you're not looking them in the eye when they tell you their prayer requests, if you're not really preparing until Saturday night, if you're too tired to do the right thing, if you're always bounding out, shopping, and going to the beach on Saturday when you know you have a lesson to prepare, then I promise you it won't be long. The sun will set on your Sunday school. This is Pastor Bill. Thanks for listening.